Greetings. This morning I'd like to greet you all in that name that is above all names. It is the name of Jesus. It is the name that I sadly have to tell you I didn't know much about most of my life. If you would, please, would turn with me to Philippians. I know these verses are all familiar to you. Nothing, they're not new. But I believe that Philippians 2, he says, I'm starting to verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, though thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross exalted him and given him a name which is above all names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee, no one is exempt. Every knee shall bow. Of the things in heaven, and the things in earth and under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. I read a sign on a billboard one time. It says, there are no unbelievers in hell. And I looked at that 3 or 4 times and said, how is that possible? That verse clarifies it. They will confess that He is Lord. And they will enter eternity in hell. A believer. That is sad, and that is a devastating situation. This morning I would like to just encourage the young people that are traveling to Africa. I encourage you to get ready and put on the whole armor of God, because you're going to need it. You're going to need it. I bless you for going. I just encourages my heart to see young people stepping up on the plate to do the things of God. I missed that as a young boy. I missed all that as a young boy. But praise be to God, I'm getting some of it now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I give God all the glory. I'm not going to take a whole lot of time this morning. Maybe I'll take a little time to give a little introduction of where I was for 39 years of my life. That's how old I was before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Young people, don't wait that long. If you're in here today and you haven't made that choice, today is the day. Now is the accepted time. Now. Now, because I missed a lot. Today I realize today what I missed. Before I go into that, I think there's a few verses I would like to read from Acts 20. You turn with me there, please. I'm not sure where to break in here to read. I think I'm going to start reading in verse 17. And this here, what I'm going to read today from this portion of Scripture is my heart. This is what I want to do today, is to convey the whole counsel of God. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I come into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility. I think that's a key word there in that sentence, that we serve Him with all humility. Humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but having showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to you that Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that should befall me, save the Holy Ghost witnesses every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. The next two verses is what I want you to listen. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of men, from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare you all the counsel of God. So I trust that today that this message will convey the whole counsel of God. I'm not going to go at the beginning of my journey when I got saved. And I can tell you where it was, but I don't have time to go into the whole detail. I know that I was, I know where I was that day. I was standing in front of 42 students in a classroom when God came down and changed my life forever. I made a commitment that day that I will go where He sends me, say what He wants me to say, and do what He wants me to do. Unknowingly, where God was going to take me. If I would have, I might have hesitated to make that commitment. But praise be to God, I changed forever that day, not going any further into that. But I'm going to tell you the person that I was a very, very selfish, very arrogant, and very bold, and very bullheaded. But God. I just looked up those two phrases in the Bible this morning. But God. And I don't know how many times it's in there. But God. By God. But God. And all things are possible. I'm a living testimony of that. There were some brothers that thought that this man would never change. But by the grace of God, they were wrong. They were wrong. There's a person sitting in here that probably thought that more than anybody else, and that's my wife. Probably thought this man was never going to change his ways. Praise be to God. Helping others was far removed from me. We were just about ourselves. But it was soon after my conversion that God changed my heart in that area. And the first place He took me was in a homeless shelter in our close city there, Fort Wayne, Indiana. And what an experience. What an experience that I had in there, not knowing what I was going to get into in that place. But praise be to God, we spent 7 years in there ministering to those people. But it came to a point where the tension was getting tight, and I remember one evening very clearly that I decided to preach a message in there on Romans 1, and that was the end. That was the end of our ministry in that place. And all everybody knows what's in Romans 1. It's talking about the homosexuals and the gays and the lesbians. And I didn't spare it, but it got us out of the place. I declare to take the whole counsel of God. And that's what I shared with the pastor there. I said, we came in here to bring the whole counsel, and we will not delete any of it. Whatever you have to do, you have to do. And we were escorted from that place. But then I just keep going here. We got to get into the slide here. There's lots to say in there. And I got to keep moving. I think it was in January of 2012, I decided that I was going to go on a CAM base as a volunteer, and knew nothing about that. Absolutely zero. Went to Bastrop, Texas as a volunteer for a week. Took several young people with me. By the way, that's something that's very dear to me, our young people. Children. Took young people with me and we had a blessed time. And I went home and I told my wife, I said, you know, I really, really enjoyed myself. I think that possibly God would have us, you and I both, to get involved with this, with Christian Aid Ministries. Well, Christian Aid Ministries heard about this and they invited us back down to Bastrop, Texas, just to come and live there. They gave us a place to live there and spend a week there and just to see if that's what we want to do. They gave us a camper to live in. We went there and they made us do a few things here and there, but we just went to see if that is what we want. And we came home and God laid it on our hearts that that's what we do. It was a journey. It was a hard decision. And that very next December, we were called down to the same place to be house parents. And that was the start of our journey. And from there we enjoyed it thoroughly. And from there we went to Oklahoma. And from there, when we got back from Oklahoma, we went to the Philippine Islands for 3 months. And there is where God spoke to us in a real way. We spent 3 months there. Then last December we were back down in Mississippi for 5 months with Christian Aid Ministries. And also in the Philippines was also Christian Aid Ministries as house parents on the rebuilding project of the typhoon that went through there. That's a very short version. If I would be stand here before you today and tell you what all took place from the beginning of that until now, we would be here a while. And some of it might not be so edifying. So we're going to try to stay on the positive side of this journey as much as possible, because only the positive things will have any benefit to our life. I say that carefully. Because He expects us to go in the valleys too. So I think I'm going to go through this slideshow. And by the way, yesterday we came in. This is not so positive here. We came in here and we hooked up my computer and the screen went blank, black. But we have it up here. I have my screen up here, but I don't have it on my computer. And I just thought, you know what? That's the devil. He just wants to discourage me and he wants to get me down. And I decided, no, it's up here. So bear with us. Pray that this technology holds up. Because you know what? It's prone to fall. It's technology. There's only one thing that won't fall, and that's this right here. This will be forever. This will be forever. And by the way, when it says that my word will stand forever, I say this here kind of careful-like, but I believe that this book will burn, even though we heard some testimonies that it didn't. But I believe it can burn. When it says that the word will stand forever, and I believe that is when it is imputed into your hearts. Imputed into our hearts. And it's real. There's many. Many say, oh yeah, we love Jesus. But it's not in here. That was me. It was a different Jesus. Well, praise the Lord, it came up. And we thank Him for that. Anyways, that is my first picture that I have on the screen. You have to bear with me a little bit. I'm fighting a sore throat this morning. Came on me last night. I believe again that was also the enemy trying to shut me down. And I refuse to shut down, okay? So I got my pills up here, so to speak, and we're going to get through this thing. Now, that picture was taken from the kitchen of the house that we stayed in. And it was taken in the morning that I'll never forget. It was a morning that I woke and I was rather gloomy. By the way, that was the first time overseas that far. I went to Haiti, but I never was that far away from home, and I felt it. I really, really did, brothers and sisters. We felt it. We felt that we felt in our bodies that we were 10,000 miles away from home, and we were in a turmoil. And then one morning I woke, went out the kitchen, and I saw that picture. That's the sunrise. And I just said, Lord Jesus, just come back. But I praise God today, I guess, that He didn't come back that morning because of what all He showed us after that. But I tell you, I don't know what it's going to be like, brothers and sisters, when He returns. I don't know what it's going to be like. But I have an idea. I have a vision that it may be something like that. And the clouds are going to burst open. And He's going to return. And He's going to return. And only those, brothers and sisters, only those young people that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb are going to be lifted up. That needs to become reality. I know that was not reality of most of my life, but brothers, as I journey on, it becomes more real to me. When I got to the airport in Chicago and I saw that big plane and I was trembling. Never was on a plane that big. Had no idea what I was getting myself into. But those promises that I made God, I'll go where You send me, just kept coming back. 14 hours in that plane. And I know a lot of you guys know what flying's like, 14 hours in a plane that size. But I didn't. Neither did my wife. Was she trembling? Yes. We were trembling. That's our ferry boat ride we had over there at 3 a.m. in the morning. Again, things looked pretty dark, sticky, warm, muggy, and gloomy. But God. I have to say something here. I don't know if my wife wants me to say this or not, but we took two girls with us from the church. And they were leaning over the rails of this big boat. And she goes, you know what? Maybe if I would just fall off of this, I'd fall all the way down and I'd be home. Because we were on the other side of the earth. Well, she'd be home all right, but it wouldn't be our earthly home. But those are the thoughts that we were thinking, you know. But God. You might hear that for a few times today, but God. That's the streets. So some of these pictures I'm going to go through, rather, if I'm blocking this view over here. Can everybody see that all right? I have to stay out of the way a little bit. That's the streets. Many of you know the streets of foreign countries, but first time I experienced it firsthand like I did here. Now we're going to go into the project that we were involved with. By the way, I didn't get out on the project as a laborer. There's a few pictures you'll see where I was doing some labor, but I didn't get into the labor part of this. This was the houses that we were building, and they were very crude. The work was very hard, and these men sweat. And it was our job as house parents, me and my wife, to make things comfortable for them when they got back to the base in the evening. And we'll talk a little more about some of those challenges. That's a picture of the house. Like I said, I'm going to go through some of these very rapidly because I have something to share at the end of this, the second part of the slideshow that is the important part of our journey. We had 15 volunteer groups come in every 10 days. They'd actually come there and spend 12 days there, I think it was, total. And we get all kinds. And we get all sorts. We get some that are very respectful. And we get some that are not so respectful. And we're not going to go into any of them details. But for the most part, very respectful. That's a layout of one of the houses in the background. This is a finished product here. This is as far as CAM went with the houses. And on the far side, you'll see that the natives took it to that point. This is our kitchen every day. Out on the job site, it was in the back end of a van. We would cook food back at the base, put it in the back end of the van, and feed the volunteers out of the back end of the van. That was our dining room out on the base. And by the way, toward the end of our journey, I did spruce that up a little bit. This was a challenge. This was, I think, the first day or second day. We had some food left, and we went out and fed some of the villagers. And that was a huge blessing. This is where things were starting to look up a little bit. I got a little story to share on this particular picture here. Like I said, I have to move on, but I need to share this. This was where the natives slept at the job site. And you notice that these beds are made out of plywood. I never saw no pillows, and I didn't see any blankets, and I didn't see any mattresses. And something struck me when I saw that. Back at the base, where my wife and I slept, we had a king-size bed, and we had a mattress, and we had pillows. But the mattress, I thought, was, I think it was just that morning, or maybe it was several mornings before. I'm not sure. Don't know the time frame. But I told my wife, this mattress is too hard. But I said, I have an idea. Light bulb went on inside. There's a room here where some of the volunteers are sleeping, and it has a king-size mattress, and it's softer. When they leave this weekend, I'll switch the mattresses around. Nobody will ever know that. Amen? Nobody will ever know that. So that's just what I done. Did a scurrying around, switched mattresses, and slept on that mattress. And next morning I get up and say, you know what? This is too soft. And I saw that, and it smote my heart. It did. I don't think I complained about that mattress one more time. But God uses these things to bring reality in His people, in His people, in His children's hearts and minds. That's a place where the CAM took all the employees and, or not employees, volunteers and staff every 2 weeks. Very good food in this place. It may not look so appetizing, but it's very good. And that's where they cooked it. This picture here is a very sad picture. I didn't know a whole lot about hungry children. But I saw these three boys hovering outside around our, by the way, this is an open front restaurant, no doors. They were hovering around the outside just staring in. And when we got finished, I realized what they were waiting on. They were waiting on us to get off that table so they could eat what we left over. So they could eat what we left over. And they did that. And they were the three of the happiest boys that you could imagine. Again, my heart was smote. Us Americans, we have a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn. That's what the island is made of, pretty much. It's lava rock. Nothing grows there. They try to grow corn. They don't get very far. Nothing grows there. Everything is shipped in. All the food is shipped in on this island. And by the way, this island that we're on is 5 miles wide and 10 miles long. I always said I drove from coast to coast every day. That's the house that we slept in. It was a very nice house. Our living quarters were excellent. That was kind of a daily thing. Girls sitting around deciding what they're going to make for supper that evening or breakfast the next morning or whatever. I didn't get into that a lot. I did some, and you'll see. This was our first day at the market. You see three bewildered ladies there, don't you? I was taking the picture and just as bewildered. There were dogs and cats and smell and heat, and we were buying groceries for the first time. To feed 23 people. And it was a challenge. But God saw us through it. A few more pictures of that. And we'll keep on moving here for the sake of time. Like I said, I did get into some cooking. I did not buy that meat off of that table. That was my biggest concern, was because I love to barbecue. I love to cook meat. And my biggest concern was I going to be able to buy meat that was fit to eat? And God saw us through that too. He found a place. We found a place at the market. And we was able to order meat there 4 or 5 days out ahead. Then we knew when it was coming across on the ferry that it would be fresh. And we did find very, very good meat. And we didn't buy it off the table that cat was sitting on either. I think I took that picture because I say this carefully because we might have some cat lovers in here. I don't like cats. So I took that and I put it on my slideshow just to, maybe I'll delete it. But yeah, we see much of this, and a lot of you are familiar with that. Basketball goal. That is a dilapidated basketball goal that the natives had at the job site. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters, that is an idol on that island. And you'll see a little bit more as we go. Basketball and volleyball is an idol to those people over there. and they know how to play. I give you a little story about how they know the players in the States. I walked on the job site one day and met one of the natives, and he asked what my name is. I said, I'm James. Oh, LeBron James? What? Anybody know LeBron James? Evidently, he's a famous basketball player. Well, they know those things. It's amazing. On an island, 10 miles long, 5 miles wide, they know about LeBron James. But they know about basketball. That's the warehouse, Cam's warehouse. Again, our dining room is stepping up a little bit. Again, they caught me in the kitchen cooking. Now, here's our grocery store. These aisles are only about 2 foot wide. And one day, the ladies were in their shop, and I was on the outer edge of the building. And one of the girls came wailing out of that place, just screaming. I said, what's going on? She said, there's a rat in there. I said, really? Yeah, there's a rat in there. Well, the next several days, I had to be the one to go back and get in the groceries. And they were standing out there. Said, go back there, clear back in the back corner. That's where it's at. Because they wouldn't go in there. And I wasn't real fond of it. Anyways, there's more I could say about that. But it's just the way it was. And we had to get used to it. We had to, because we were there 3 months, and nothing we can do about it. So it was either we get it together and accept it that it's God's will that we're there and move on, rats, whatever. And so we did. And you'll see later on what God done with that. They have mechanic shops just about anywhere, middle of the road, side of the road. That's the port where we came in on the ferry. Mechanic shop out on the road. How many of you would get underneath that one and work on that with just a little prop that could... They're fearless. That's another thing. These people are fearless. They have no fear. You see, that's a very common sight there. Very common sight. That's also a common sight. That's the school children's attire. I was very surprised about that and appreciated it for the most part. Dogs were very... I called them handicaps because I'll tell you what, they were handicapped. Nothing to eat. And they looked poor. But they were somebody's dog. You had to be careful. I actually run over on one day. I thought he was sleeping on the road. So I spraddled him while he wasn't sleeping. He got up and about the time I was halfway across him. So, but dogs are terrible. They're all over and they look horrible. This is a sight that I saw one day. These men are fishermen. They get up early in the morning. They get up early in the morning and they have a lantern and they're out fishing. And then they bring their fish in and these fish tanks are full of their fish, their catch for the morning. And then in the afternoon, they take their nap. Again, do you see any pillows? That's probably all they have right there. That's the staff that was there while we were there. That's our Sunday morning services and every morning devotion. That's a scene of that. I enjoyed those times very much. That's a kind of a normal day. Cooking, baking. As you see the natives, they take the house to this point, and as you see, the footers are not very level, are they? But by the time the Americans get a hold of this thing, and they get about 4 blocks high, they got her straight. They got some mortar joints that are about that wide too. I don't want to ridicule or put down America or our culture. But we do know how to do some. We do know how to work, and we do know how to make things right when it comes to building. And praise be to God. The framework around these windows—that is the hardest job of the whole project. Again, that's our kitchen. Usually, the volunteers bring along two ladies to help the ladies cook for the time frame that they're there, and the volunteers get very weary at times. That's a mechanic shop. That's a real mechanic shop there. Took our van in there one day to get the front end aligned. And the guy came out of the shop with, he pulled me over, they have a pit, we pulled him over. And he came out of the shop with, I think, three open end wrenches and a rusty pipe wrench and a tape measure. And I went back, my thoughts went back home. If you pull a vehicle in a mechanic shop here, they hook it to a computer, right? So he went underneath this pit with them wrenches, and all the wrenches came out, but but the pipe wrench and the tape. So he adjusted my van with a pipe wrench and a tape, and I don't know how he done it. I didn't watch. I just trusted that. It didn't drive a whole lot better after he was done. But that's okay. We understand. We have to understand sometimes that that's just how it's going to be. Bondo. Oh, they just love Bondo over there. They take the rusty piece of equipment and they just put Bondo around it and to hold it together. Baptist Church, we visited. Actually, the last time we was over there, we got the opportunity to go in there and preach in there. The Baptist preacher said, yeah, go ahead, have the message. Not a problem. And it was a good day. Build boats. These are the boats. They're building fishermen boats. These guys build these things from scratch. It's amazing if you watch them. Not going to go there. We have much more important things to talk about. These cattle here, you find them everywhere. You have to watch going down the road or you'll hit one. And I've done so. One of those come out in front of me one time and I hit that thing going about 35 miles an hour. And I thought, wow, now we got a case on our hands. I'll have to find the owner. But he rolled in the ditch and a few seconds later he gets up and he walks off and seemed like he's all right. So again, God was in control because I didn't want to find the owner. It wouldn't have been the pleasantest thing in the world, I don't believe. Coffee shop, I've been trying to figure out how they put that swirl on there. I don't believe they can do it in America. I don't believe they can. But that's a coffee shop that we went into that when we were tightened up and just needed a little time to relax, we went in this coffee shop. And we made good friends in this coffee shop. And they had good coffee. They had good mocha drinks or whatever. But that's where we went to relax if things got a little tough. And 2 weeks after we left there, they closed doors. By the way, we took all the volunteers in there every 2 weeks. On Tuesday night, we took all the volunteers in this place. And it was just a place that was equivalent to Starbucks, is what it was. And I'm not a Starbucks fan by no means. But anyways, by the way, I have to put these pictures in here because that's proof that I was just not over there messing around. So I put two of them in to let you know that I was working. But only for 5 minutes. We're going to talk about this here just a little bit more down the way because I have more pictures of this here is a very, very touchy scene every day. Them eyes, I don't know if you see something in them eyes, but they are yearning for something. And they just love to hear about God. We'll talk about that a little bit later. By the way, this was our friend in our bedroom and we got to be pretty good friends with him. He wasn't scared of me and we weren't scared of him anymore. Him or her or whatever it is. We did get some good things to eat. I always said that them two girls are coveting over those two cakes. But that is not what they're doing. And you ladies can probably tell me what they might have been looking for. They're looking for ants and worms before they put a cover on them and stick them in a deep freeze. And who do you think is the first person that got to taste those cakes? That guy right there. I had a birthday. I didn't know that that's why they were baking those cakes. They baked it for the volunteers, but I am the first person that got a piece of that cake. And it was good. We had some really, really good times there as staff. That's the Catholic Church was built back in 1586. We toured that thing every 2 weeks. It got to the point where I didn't go with them into that church. I got a real funny feeling in there every time we went. By the way, this is a Catholic. They believe in, it's a Catholic religion in this island. That's what they are. Very little else there. That's the inside of that. Here's a basketball goal playing basketball. But like I said, basketball is an idol. And we're not going to spend a lot of time there. But God can change that too. Cornfield, like I told you earlier, had nothing grows there. And when I saw this cornfield, I said, you know what, that's a pretty nice looking cornfield. And I don't know if I have another picture of it, but it did grow up, and it did get tassels, and it did get an ear. But the ear was only about that long, and that was the end of it. But they harvest that little ear, and they get off of it what they can. That's the way they plow there, quite different from here. Chicken barns, that island was the egg basket of the Philippines. Before the typhoon, and after the typhoon, 90% of them went broke, and they're not back in business. But they do still raise a lot of eggs. very young boy. I'm going to have to move on a little faster. This boy was a sick boy that we got to, we got to feed some food, and it was very sad. And then we go through all that, the barbecue chicken. Cement blocks is one of the things that is my vision over there that possibly we could do for an income for some. They make a lot of cement blocks. They make six at a time like that. That's the natives plastering. That's also a common scene. Butchering a pig out in the middle of the street or beside the street. And that's the final results there. I met this man, a very hungry man, very poor man, and that's the house that he lives in. We got to be pretty good friends with him. And we was able to, that's his bed. Him and his wife slept on that bed. And there was no blankets in that room. We took the opportunity to sing to him several times.
All my life I gave him. He gave his for me.
That's his back. That's the backyard. That's the pig that they're raising. I had thoughts like this when I go to a place like this. A zero turn, $10,000 zero turn mower wouldn't work very well there, would it? Yeah, those are the thoughts that I get when I, and me and my wife, we have a, this is our stove. Me and my wife, we have a black digital. You set the food in the morning and go to church, and you can dial that thing in, and when you get home, it's done. I think we need to look at these things a little bit. And it's not wrong to have those things. I'm not saying that. But I think what we do with this is what matters. That's a well they draw water from. 40-some feet down. It's open well. Children can fall in there, and I wonder sometimes if they don't. That's the trail back to this young fellow's house. This is an interesting group we had from Manitoba. Not Manitoba, Winnipeg. I heard, noticed that we had some from that area here today. But a very, very interesting group of men. Maybe we'll just share a little bit more about them as we go. They had a pig farm over there. We're not going to show you all these pictures flying out. I never dreamt that they would have a pig farm on there. I believe it's the only pig farm on the island. And he's rather a big pig farm. And they do things quite different than what we do. But the typhoon destroyed most of his buildings, and he was struggling to bring her back. By the way, these men refused to use the mud mixer. They're the natives. They just will not use the mud mixer. You bring them a mud mixer, they'll use it for about one day, and the next day they'll have the thing setting off the side, and they're mixing it by hand. They think different than what we do. A lot different. We think how easy we can make it after we have it easy. Very tiresome job. By noon, these men are in this condition right here. That's a picture of a cornfield now that got tassels. I think it's the same cornfield. But that's about it right there. She'll dry off now and that'll be the end of it. We're starting to get a little order in this park with these children. And we'll see a little bit later. That's a wash day. In this picture here, we're starting to, we're in the process of going into the prison. And we're baking cookies here for the prison. So things are starting to look, at this point of our stay, things were starting to look a little different. God has shown us why we were there and the purpose of our lives. We were bagging cookies there. And by the way, that the lady there in the yellow dress is the lady that owns the house we were staying in. We got to sing to people in the village for one time, and they invited us back, but the next time we got there, they weren't there. What I believe happened, the Catholic priest got a hold of them and said, do not go back over there again. That's what we sense happened. And the reason we sense that is for some experiences that we had. But we got that opportunity, and praise the Lord. Like I said, we enjoyed doing this. On the way back to the base, we had food left. We distributed to the hungry. These are recipients that are getting the homes. that we were building. They would come to the job sites every day and do a certain amount of work which was required from them. We had our own medical team there, and that's the team. One to hold the fan and the other in a tube of super glue, and we fixed him up just fine. And that healed up. I saw that scar here a couple weeks ago, or that cut, and you could barely see it's there. So we have a very good educated medical team there. Okay. We're going to change course here a little bit. Like I said, I have to move on. The next part of the show, the slideshow is what we're going to... This here is a lady. Now, we are in Columbia, Mississippi now. That was the end of our project in the Philippines. We are now in Columbia, Mississippi. And I believe this is the second day that we were there. And this lady here, the first time I met her, I was scared. That'd be the first time I think I ever was scared of a 70-year-old, 90-pound lady. But I was scared. Pulled up to her house. We pulled up to her house, and she was in her car. By the way, her house is destroyed. We ended up tearing that house down. And she came out of that car, and she was upset. She was using every sort of language that you possibly could imagine, and she was using it in a way that made your skin curl a little bit. So we just rolled up the window, and we just drove off and never spoke a word to her because it was that violent. But anyways, going to shorten this up a little bit, her house was assigned to us. And I was praying that it wouldn't be because I was a job coordinator and house parent on this project. So that meant that I had to go out and deal with her. And that was not what I wanted. So anyways, I decided that I was going to take the field representative with me to go out and meet her again. So we drove up. And by that time, we crawled out of the car first before she did. And she came out of her car, just her arms were up like this, and she was going to lay into us again. And we just said, look, if you want help, you're going to have to settle down. And she just willed it. She just willed it. I thought it was just about skin deep, is what I thought, but I wasn't sure. But she just willed it. And she said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. That was her words. And from that day on, she was the sweetest little lady to deal with, you can imagine. That's her house that we're building. That's her finished house. Actually, we're going to visit her here in a couple weeks, Lord willing. Now, that's a picture, and I don't know who took that photo, but he forgot to get part of me in there. But that's the picture of her and her new house now. Just going to give you a little, she attended our singings, and about the third time she attended, I asked her if she would consider sharing what God done in her heart. There definitely was a change, because she quit smoking. She just changed a lot of things of her life, dramatically. And she said, sure, I'd be glad to. And I'm going to tell you what she shared. Now, she is probably not where you and I think she ought to be. Amen? But this was the words out of her mouth that night at the singing. She said, I used to live for the devil all my life. But today, my life has changed. And I'm going to glory with Jesus. That was the words out of her mouth. If we would have just rolled up the window again, said goodbye, not going to deal with you, that wouldn't have happened. Wouldn't have happened. So God, but God, again, this is her dedication. We dedicated the house to her that day. That's the end of that. End of our project there. I mean, all I was going to show on that project, I should say. I'm going into the So the next part. By the way, me and my wife had an anniversary while we were there. And Cam told us, well, why don't you two just go take a couple days off? So we got on the ferry, and we headed for the Cebu Islands. I only got two pictures of this to show you that God is merciful and He does give us, He gives us time off. And we are in a 5-star hotel there. And it was very cheap. It cost us $47 a night there. And by the way, praise be to God, Cam paid that for us. They are a wonderful organization. They take care of us. Okay, there's them children. You know, you remember this scene before? What does that look like? Order. And I knew it was possible by God. Obedience. Never again did we have that riot. Never again. I told him, when I clap my hands, you need to sit down. And that's exactly what happened every time. Every time. Had a little boy get his nail ripped off that day when we took those pictures. We're repairing it there. And he never cried. Tore the whole, the big toenail, tore it clean off. Okay, now we're in the prison. And this is where God was showing great things. We're in the prison. This prison has about 170-some, or 154 inmates. And the living quarters in here is absolutely unreal. And we'll talk a little more about the living quarters. We're preparing to go into the prison again here. I'm going to try to explain to you how we got in there. We had to go through quite a bit of authority to get there. But the day that we went in there, the first day we went in there, the volunteers, I might have a picture of this warden, I'm not sure, but he was standing up against the prison doors, and he had his warden clothes on, and he was stern. And he asked me, what are you going to talk about when you go in there? And I told him, by the grace of God, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought maybe he would say, well, then you need to just keep on going. But he turned around and he opened the door and he went like this and he directed us in. And that's the open door we went in. We're just going to go through these pictures. It's basically, some of these pictures are all the same. We're outside the prison here, one of the groups that went in with us. The group that I was telling you about from Winnipeg left lots of money there to invest in the prison, and we was able to buy some supplies for them. And that is part of the supplies. And also, we was able to buy them a new sewing machine. They needed a new sewing machine. And I come to the grips that I know that money is not our way in there, and we need to be careful about that. And we are trying to withdraw from that a little more, because we can soon buy our way in a place by handouts. And that's not going to work. It's not a long-term cure. It's a short-term cure. And so we're trying to... But I do believe that it was a way in there. Those inmates took that sewing machine and put together a T-shirt for me before I left the island. And it's a very special T-shirt. It has my name wrote on it. And we made some very, very good friends in that prison. Met that old lady. This is outside the prison. I got a few pictures. We met her and witnessed her, and actually she is not living today anymore. There's a sad story behind this couple, but we're going to keep moving. We got, there is the warden. That is the person that asked me that question. And he was much more stern than he is in that picture. Quite a contrast there. Yeah, there's a load of pigs we saw. I kind of got some pictures in here. This is a very special picture here. This little boy here became good friends to us, but it was very short-lived because over there, when you want somebody to come to you, you don't go like this. You go like this. My wife met him and she saw him and she goes, "Come here, come here." And that was the last we saw him, he was gone. And I found out later that's a threat of some kind, I'm not sure. But we learned to go like this. But he had a good day there. Going into the prison again. We are end of our stay here. And we decided that we was going to cook them a meal before we leave. And that's what we are doing here. We cooked them a big piece of chicken that morning, that day, and we cooked them rice. By the way, we fancied up our rice a little bit. All they get is cooked rice 3 times a day. And possibly in the morning they may get a little piece of fish with it. So anyways, at this time things were getting a little tense, a little as we were leaving, and didn't see a whole lot of change, and maybe you don't get that way a little bit. We want to see something, you know. But I just gave it up to the Lord. I said, "Lord, if you want to change the hearts of those men in that prison, it's your job." Right here is where I would like to. Take a little time. I'm going to let that picture up there. Before we took the food into that prison that night, our interpreter, which is an inmate, his name is Emar. And by the way, please pray for Emar. Because he is a child of God. And he is preaching the gospel in this prison now. When we're not there. Emar came up to me. And he says, those inmates don't want to eat tonight until there's two of them in there who want to share something. And I wondered, what would they want to share? And I'm going to read. By the grace of God, I'm going to try to read what one of those shared. Here's a personal handwritten testimony that I got from one of those that day, that night. The first words out of his mouth were these. "I never knew there was a God. I never knew there was a God." He's a married young man in prison. We don't know how long. He doesn't know how long. He has no idea. By the way, none of them have any idea how long they're going to be in there. And I'm going to give you a little illustration what this young man here, what a condition that he's living in when he penned these words. He's living in a 13 by 12 cell. And there are 27 inmates in there with him. And we calculated one day and said there at least half of them need to stand to sleep or take turns sleeping. That's the condition that he was in. That's the facility that he was living in when he wrote these words. And we have people today that are living in luxurious living and they can't pen these kind of words. They can't, let alone speak them. This changed my life. He says, "Embrace the place where you are," is his first words on this testimony. "Only God is in control of my life. I'm going to have to move on. I truly become a better me. It is imperative to believe that God is in control of my life. I know many people go around worried and upset. They're always trying to figure out everything. How I'm going to get out of this problem or that problem. Why am I not happy? Why won't my dreams come true? But God, that's not the way it is. But God, that's not the way He wants us to live. When I truly trust Him and believe that He has control, I can rest." a peace in my heart and mind deep down on inside. I know that everything is going to be all right in that condition. Do we go to bed every night? And do we go to bed with that thought in mind that everything is going to be all right? I am happy now for my new life because God loves me. I think that was the message that was preached in there the night before, that God loves you. And He has a plan for me. That's why I'm here in jail. That's why I'm here in jail, is that I continually rise to newer levels. I had to review my life quite a bit when I read this. Is that my goal? That I make a vow with God that I'm going to rise higher into a new level with You. God will deal with us and bring light where I need to improve my life. Very good words there. He's trusting God that God will reveal His sin as He goes on. And He does do that. I could share a testimony, but I don't have time where He does that in my life today yet. He shows my weaknesses, my past weakness as I travel on with Him. He brings them up before you. Any one of us can rise higher. There's no limit to what God can do in our lives. I will have a grateful attitude, recognizing that this day is a gift. I will exercise my path in a positive direction, preparing for success. Success in what? In His condition. In Christ. In Christ. I am expecting God's best for my life. Today I will reach for something beyond where I am presently. The Bible says to set your mind and keep it set. To keep it set on the higher things. And I believe the higher things are the positive things. So first things every day, set your mind for success. And set your mind that you're going to enjoy this day. And rise higher and higher and higher into the jet stream with God. Did something happen to that young man? Something happened to that young man. And praise be to God. There's two of them gave their testimonies that night. We don't have time to read them more. And that was quite a night. Very sobering night. You could hear a pin drop in that jail, in that prison. Very sobering night. Second time over, I'm going to slide through there. Second time over, we got into the prison again. We was able to play music in there. Do things that's unbelievable. The things that you just would never do in a state's prison. I'm going to continue on here, and I guess because I have some things to share at the end. This is Emar. This is our, we believe he is a future leader over there, and we're going to move that direction to get him to lead out in maybe other areas other than ministering too. So pray for us as Cam has decided that they're going to go in there with us, and we're going to try to take the SALT program in there and see if we can move on to help these men along the way. Yeah, just a lot of opportunities here that we was able to go in there and preach. And that is the pastor of the Baptist church. Remember I told you about the picture of the Baptist church? That is the pastor in there. He was our interpreter at times, but today Emar is our full-time interpreter when we go in there. That's the third trip over there. That's what I met when I got there. They pulled me right up to the front prison gates and I had to shed a few tears. When they welcomed me back in there like that, it's amazing. The open doors there and the This is our last message that we preached on Saturday morning. And we've done a little different than normally. But anyway, you gave them an opportunity afterwards that they could, if they had anything that they wanted to confess, wanted to get right with God, they should come forward. And I don't know if they quite understood what we were talking about, but it was very touching here at the end of this. We open up the altar. And before it was over, there was only two or three standing. I don't know where all these men are. But I do believe that they have a desire to get right with God. There are about 13 of them in there right now that we do believe that are saved, and they are moving on with God. This is another young man that we believe is going to be a leader, and we are kind of teaching him that direction, and see what God has. I'm going to go through this real quick here. This is a man, this is outside the prison now, that we were able to help. This man could not move hardly anything. We was able to get him a wheelchair, and some medical help. The church at home, back home, has decided to support that family. And today, that's his children, that's his wife and all the children. Absolutely helpless, hopeless, hopeless. He gave up. He gave up. He said, I'm just going to die. I gave up. Today, he is walking. Today, he is walking. That's God. That is God. No man could perform that. There's no way. It's God. Praise be to Him. He is the one. He is the faithful one. He is the only one that can do those things. That is the end of the slideshow. You can turn on the lights, turn that off. I'm going to give you a little update in closing here and what is taking place over there right now as we speak. Last week, this Emar, he's reading his Bible, and I knew when I was over there the last time that Emar is reading his Bible, and he is finding something in there. He's finding things in there that he's battling with, that he wants to move forward with, and that one thing is baptism. And he come to me and he says, I got to be baptized. And I started trembling, because it's Catholic. Everything's there, it's almost Catholic. And I told him, Emar, do you realize that you were baptized as a baby, and this is going to cause a problem? He says, I don't care. And when he said that, I detected a voice in him that he was real. And he wanted to get baptized. And I believe I should have done it right there. But respect from the elders back home, we come back home and we discuss it with them. And they said, whoever goes down there the next time, they should baptize him. So Brother Marlon's there. Urban Helmuth from North Carolina is there with him. And I think they were there a week and a half. They were preparing for this. But they needed to talk to the authorities in the prison first. And that's where the thing started to tremble a little bit. They went in there and talked to the authorities. And he said, that's not permitted in a prison. But we will make exceptions for Emar. You can baptize Emar. And I told Marlon called me and he was just jumping for joy. I said, you know what, Marlon? They can't stop God. If there's more in there that want to be baptized, they won't stop God. Oh yeah, but he said, we have to. No, they won't stop God. And they can't do nothing about it. Because I knew there were more men in there that desired the same thing. Anyhow, that morning before the baptism, Emar's wife came to Brother Marlon and said, Brother, I'm ready to give it up. I want to be baptized with my husband. When I first met her, she was diehard Catholic. She says, I'm going to throw that stuff off the side. I'm going to follow the direction that my husband's going. Marlon called me again and he was just booming. And so they sat down with her. Urban and him sat down with her. They instructed her to the best of their knowledge. And she says, I don't care. I'll do whatever I have to. I'm going to do it for Jesus. So she went in there not knowing whether the prison was going to allow it. But they were just trusting God. They baptized Emar. And they told the authorities, we have another one here that wants to be baptized. They said, go ahead and baptize her. So they baptized Connie, which is Emar's wife. About that time, there's three more men stood up out of the crowd, said, we want to be baptized. They looked at the authorities, said, baptize them. But God. Today, Emar's wife, she was clad in a way that was totally unreal. She said, please help me. I want to do what the Bible says. Today she's covered. She's in a skirt. And she's walking with the Lord. But God. That's God. So I want to close with that. I'm sorry I went over my time, Mel. But I believe that this last part had to be brought forth too. You know, we started out where we did, gloomy, but it ended up beautiful. Amen. Beautiful. And it's going to get yet more beautiful, I believe, if we trust God. It's going to get yet more beautiful. Praise Him. May God bless you. And I do want to thank you for letting me come to share this. And I do have to say that it looked like a big mountain to come here and stand before you all and share what's on my heart. But I know it was His will. So God be praised. Please, God be praised. Because He is the one. He is the only one that can do the things that I shared in my life and other people's lives and yours also. May God bless you.
Oh, praise be to our God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, thank you, Brother James, for taking the time to share with us. What a joy to see the work of God through a vessel that is willing and surrendered to His will. Anyone care to share a quick testimony? Something that blessed you this morning? I know it's late, but I'd just like to give opportunity for someone. I heard this from my brother James before, and I just felt like we need to hear. You know, how God can simply use a human vessel for His glory and bringing souls to Christ that are dying with no hope. Father, we give You thanks and praise. Thank You, God, for Your presence here today. Thank You, Lord, for Your life-giving Word. Father, we thank You that the gospel is the same, Lord, as it was when it was breathed out in Your Word, Lord. We thank You for how You use Your gospel to change lives. Thank You, Father. Father, dismiss us now with Your grace, Your blessing, Your joy, and give us grace, Lord, to continue to be light and salt to those around us, oh Father. Thank You, God. We worship You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.